All right. You know, it's amazing how God just works things together. Tim was doing prayer this morning, and he prayed the Lord's Prayer. And I didn't ask him to do that, but it completely syncs with the sermon this morning. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So in the Lord's Prayer, there's this prayer that God's kingdom would come. In Jesus' ministry, as he traveled about from one town and village to another, he was proclaiming the good news of the, what was he proclaiming the good news of? The kingdom of God. Jesus taught us to pray that God's kingdom would be here, and when Jesus went around, he went around proclaiming the kingdom of God. That begs the question, when Christians talk about the kingdom of God, what are they saying? What do we mean by the kingdom of God? What we mean by the kingdom of God is what the world would look like if God was in charge. What the world would look like if God is in charge. Now, sometimes when some tragedy happens or some horrible thing happens, there are some Christians that say, well, that was God's will. They imagine that God is in control of everything, and when your mother gets cancer or a tragedy happens and your child is hurt, well, that's just God. He's in charge. But I got news for you. If you want to know what God's world looks like and what God's world is, God's will for this world is, read Genesis chapter 1 and 2. When God made the world in the beginning, he made it good, 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 very good. That's God's will for our planet. It's not God's will that tragedy happens. It's not God's will that pain happens. God's will is all good all the time. So Jesus went around preaching the good news of the kingdom because God is not in control. This world is actually under the force of evil powers. When God made our good world in the beginning, he gave Adam and Eve freedom. He gave them the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve could stay in relationship with God, and they could stay under God's rule and authority, or they could rebel against it and bring themselves under evil forces. And that's what Adam and Eve did. And that's what we did. And so rather than this world being exactly what God wants, this world is a battlefield, right? This world is a war zone. This world is filled with both good and evil. And so Jesus came announcing the kingdom of God. Jesus came showing us what the world would look like if God was in charge. And by the way, we see that really clearly here in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Let me set the situation up. There's a man named John the Baptizer, and he has been telling the world about Jesus and preparing people to meet Jesus. And John the Baptizer is placed in prison as a result of his preaching and teaching about Jesus. So there he is, and not just about Jesus, but he got himself into a little trouble with the local ruler there by telling him to not be committing adultery. So John is put into prison, and there he is, suffering in prison, wallowing in this horrible place, and he begins to doubt whether Jesus is really who he thought he was. I mean, Jesus was bringing the kingdom of God. And when Jesus brings the kingdom of God, the world is supposed to get better. And so John sends people to Jesus and says, "Are you the one, or should we wait for another?" And Jesus replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Now, what I want you to understand here is this is what the kingdom of God is like, right? I mean, we know what God's plan was. It was a good, 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 very good world. And then we know that we rebelled and we did our own thing, and the world is full of disorder and chaos. And Jesus comes to that world of disorder. He comes to that world of chaos, and he comes preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And what does that kingdom look like? It looks like the blind receiving their sight. It looks like the cripple, the lame, learning to walk. It looks like the leper being cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead raised, and the poor having the good news preached to them. That's what God's kingdom looks like. But listen, God's kingdom is not a kingdom of force. Jesus is ruling and reigning this universe. But when Jesus rules and reigns, when Jesus sits on the throne, Jesus sits on the throne as a slaughtered lamb. In other words, Jesus rules not through force. Jesus rules through the power of invitation. And so God's kingdom, when Jesus came announcing God's kingdom, what would the world be like if God was ruling and reigning once again? The lame would be healed, and the blind would receive their sight, the lepers would be cleansed, the deaf would hear, the dead would be raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's what it would look like. But this kingdom is not coming through force. This kingdom is coming through choice. Will you choose to bring your life into allegiance with Jesus? Will you bring your life under the rule and reign of the slaughtered lamb? Or will you choose to be in charge and all the chaos that unleashes in the world? So between the time that Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God, there will be a time when the kingdom of God is consummated. Revelation describes that day when everyone who will has chosen God's kingdom, and everyone who won't has rebelled against it permanently. There come a time where everyone has made their choice, and when everyone has made their choice to either be a part of God's kingdom or to rebel against it permanently, God will come back, Jesus will come back. And then the Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed up for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. When Jesus came, he inaugurated God's kingdom. He showed what the world would be like if he was in charge. Jesus promises there will come a time where not only is his kingdom inaugurated, his kingdom is consummated. Somebody say amen to that. We'll have a world with no death, no pain, no sorrow, a world with no tears. When God is in charge, the dead will live again. Our homes will be filled with peace and happiness. The heartbeat of love will beat through the universe once again. Now, between the time when God's kingdom is inaugurated in the coming of Christ and the time when God's kingdom is consummated and there is no more pain or death, in between that time, there is this call to the people of this world to become a part of God's kingdom by giving their allegiance to Jesus Christ. There is a call to be a part of this kingdom now. Now, this call, those who respond to this call, bring themselves under the leadership of Jesus, and they become the body of Christ, the church. Okay? So we have the already of Jesus' inauguration of the kingdom, we have the not yet of the consummation of the kingdom, and in between those two poles, in between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, Jesus is present on this planet, listen now, through the body of Christ. Let me read this to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." Now I want you to just pause, and I want you to think about the significance of this. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again, Jesus ascended to heaven, Jesus is ruling and reigning in heavenly temple as the slaughtered lamb, and we are the presence of Jesus on this planet. Wow. I mean, we read about Jesus. Jesus went village to village. He went town to town, healing the sick, proclaiming the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did. And church, I got news for you. We are the body of Christ. God has called us, to be the physical presence of Jesus on this planet. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, just as the body has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. It's simple, right? We have hands and feet and arms and all kinds of different parts of the body, and all of these different parts form one body. And then he says, so it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, I want you to catch this. By the Spirit's presence in each of us individually, we carry the presence of Jesus collectively. Now, I want you to catch this. By the Spirit's presence in each of us as individuals, we give our lives to Christ, we bring our lives under His allegiance, and we are baptized into Christ. He gives us the gift of the Spirit, and as individuals, we have the gift of the Spirit, together we carry the presence of Jesus into the world. That's what God's plan is for us. I mean, we're the body of Christ. That's incredible. When I think about the work that Jesus did, Jesus went about doing two things. There were two things that Jesus did with his body while he was here on planet Earth. Number one, Jesus went about doing good. That's what Jesus did, number one. He went about doing good. Right now, there's a lot of different categories of doing good, right? I mean, Jesus healed the sick. I would definitely put that in the category of doing good. And Jesus fed the hungry. That is in the category of doing good. And so as the body of Christ, our job, it is our calling to follow Jesus, our head. He is the head of the body. Our job is to follow the head of the body out into the world, extending the kingdom of God, by doing good like Jesus did. By the way, one of the cool ways that this church has done that is through the medical work. I mean, this town, Sonora, exists the way Sonora exists because some Seventh-day Adventist physicians years ago decided to do good in this community. I mean, I personally feel like Sonora would just be like any other little foothill community were it not for the Seventh-day Adventist who came to this town with a vision of doing good. And because of that, Sonora has grown and prospered as a community because of the Seventh-day Adventist who created. I mean, when I'm old, I don't want to live in some place without a good hospital. Right? So it was the commitment of the Adventist people to do good in this community that made Sonora what it is. And that's one way that we've made that commitment as a people. Here's another. For years and years and years and years, good people, sacrificial people, served our community through our Dorcas or our community services. Incredible people. Absolutely incredible people working day after day, sacrificially giving themselves to that work. By the way, I just need to mention when we needed to make some changes and we closed down our community service center as it was, that makes me very nervous, right? I mean, this is a ministry that has existed for years and years and years and years, and now. And this is one way that we as the body of Christ do good in our community. So it freaks me out. I have to tell you though, I shouldn't have been nervous. I should have had more confidence in the body of Christ. We have had now for 2 or 3 weeks our food bank back up and functioning, and it's open on Wednesdays. Just right over here it's moved up out of the hole, which I think is a good decision to move it out of the hole. And so it meets on Wednesdays just right in this building across the way that we acquired from the hospital. Really, really happy about that. That's number one. Number two, Debbie Nord is leading the charge on God's Closet. And we're receiving great donations. In fact, we just received, somebody donated a bunch of brand new clothes. And so we are preparing now. We've chosen the date for the spring to launch God's Closet and to have a big event inviting the community to come. So we have replaced, we're giving our food and we're giving our clothing away. Now, and by the way, there's one other piece to this thing that is totally incredible. Downward Community Services was. It is so awesome, so awesome. Downward Community Services was, we've done a little remodeling so that we can store some equipment down there, which is nice because I don't know if you've noticed, but we have like less stuff lying around. Okay? So we've taken that, we've created a little storage down there, but we've just used a very small space for storage, and then the rest of the space is being converted into an education center where we can invite the community to come and learn how to change their oil, and we can help single mothers change their oil, get new brake pads, things like that. In addition to those kinds of things, there are people who are going to be opening opportunities like, hey, you can buy your furniture at Walmart, or you can come to a class and we'll teach you how to make your furniture, and you can have beautiful quality furniture instead of buying $25 furniture at Walmart that's going to be obliterated in a few years. So that space, so we're still doing food every week, we're doing clothing in these big events, and we're creating a space where we can educate people and serve our community in that kind of way. I don't know, does that excite you? I find that really exciting. So the point here is, as the body of Christ, the church's job is to be the body of Christ. And how do we do that? Jesus did two things. Number one, he figured out ways to do good. He fed the hungry, he healed the sick. As our church we have that same commitment to serve those who are physically ill. We've done that. We need to do it more. We need to do better. But that's a big part of our identity here at Discover Life. In addition to that, He took care of the physical needs, whether we provide food or clothing or we cook breakfast for Tuolumne City like we're going to tomorrow. That's a part of our church being the body of Christ, serving the needs of our community. That's us trying to extend God's kingdom, right? Hungry people, people that need clothes, people that need food, people that are sick, let's figure out a way to give them care. The second way that Jesus extended, that Jesus fulfilled his mission was not just by doing good, but by teaching the truth about who God was. So as a church, as the body of Christ, we need to be deeply invested in our community, doing everything in our power to make it better. So we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, is Sonora better because I live here? Is Sonora better because Discover Life Seventh-day Adventist Church is here? Is the and not only is it better, but are we doing everything in our power to not just make it better, but to make it maximally better? Right? Because we might say, well, yeah, sure, it's better because we're here, you know, and kind of pat ourselves on the back and then, you know, go rock climbing and play golf. Right? But how are we regularly reimagining who we are and asking ourselves as the body of Christ, the physical presence on this earth in Sonora, extending the kingdom of God, how are we making this community better? Number one. And number two, how are we doing at teaching the truth about how Jesus Christ is? Both of those things are essential. You cannot be a church that only teaches who Jesus is, and you can't be a church that only does good. You have to do both. We have to teach the truth of who Jesus is and call people to relationship to him, call people toward repentance, call people to surrender to Christ. That is absolutely fundamental to what it means to be the body of Christ, but we can't do that out of the context of doing good. Now, in 1 Corinthians, he explains this in an incredible way. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Let's make this point. Some people just love being up to their elbows in other people's problems. Right? I mean, some of you might get a little chuckle out of this. Whenever my wife has a problem, I always say to her, "You got a problem? Yo, I'll solve it." Okay, there's a little song from the 90s. Okay, so I'm a person that I like when there are, I like to help people solve their problems. That's just kind of how I am. Okay, some people are like that. Other people, they serve the body of Christ by making certain that this place looks good, right? I mean, I'll tell you, for 7 years that I've been a pastor here, and for many years before that, we spent about $14,000 a year at the church paying people to keep our yard up, and more than $5,000 a year over there keeping the yard up. So we were spending like $20,000 a year on landscaping, and then Jerry Smiley came to me and he's like, "Hey, I want to do this." And I was like, "Whoa, you're crazy." Because it's just one guy. Nobody else was volunteering. Then he started doing it, and now we got a group of men that volunteer on a regular basis, keeping this place looking, I think it looks just as good as it did when we were spending the money. In fact, sometimes I think it looks even better. So to me, there are people who are good at that kind of stuff, right? I mean, like, you don't want me trimming your bushes. You just don't. It looked like Edward Scissorhands had a problem. Like, it's just not going to be good. We're all filled with our different gifts. Some are teachers. Some are so incredibly, they're just filled with compassion, right? I mean, after first service, I saw one woman talking with another, and young lady, and she was tearing up, and this woman just gave her a hug, and it was so tender and so loving, and just not me. You know what I mean? She was loving a woman in a way that it just wouldn't have worked for me. You follow what I'm saying? Every one of us comes to this place. Every one of us. It doesn't matter if you're an 8-year-old, 6-year-old child, or you're pushing 100. God has a way for you to be a blessing in this world. And when you do good, when you share the love of Christ and serve the community and the church with whatever gifts you have, you are expanding God's kingdom. You're making it better. You're making it bigger. You're creating space for other people. Now, I got to show you this. This is incredible. Because the argument that Paul makes here is a mind-blowing argument. Listen to what he says. It's a very Trinitarian argument. It's a Trinitarian argument for the diversity of the church. Listen to what he says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same, what's the word here? Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same, what's this word? Lord. That's talking about Jesus. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same what? God at work. Did you see that? Spirit, Lord, God. Each member of the Godhead is present in giving us our gifts. So what I want you to understand is that the diversity in the church springs out of, and this is the mind-blowing thing, the diversity of God. Wow. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all involved in this process. Look what it says there. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. What I want you to see here is that the diversity in the Godhead leads to diversity in service. Now check this out. You're going to love this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the what? Common good. This word in the Greek, it's so beautiful. It's the word from which we get our word symphony. You like music? You like the symphony? I like this. The word literally means bring together or to be better. And so we get the word symphony because when the violins play and the cellos play and you have the percussions and it's all together, it's better. Does that make sense? And so God gives each one of us gifts in the body of Christ for the common good because when we work together, it's like a symphony. When we work together, it's like the glory and the beauty of the symphony. Church, this morning, got one more minute to call it this morning. Okay. We know what God's plan was, a world that was all good all the time. That's what the world looks like when God's in charge. We sinned, we put ourselves on the throne, we put Satan on the throne, and by rebellion, we brought chaos and disorder into this world. And Jesus comes in and Jesus says, I want to show you guys who think this chaos and this disorder is the way I want it. It's not the way I want it. Let me show you how I want it. Lame, be healed. Deaf, hear. Blind, see. That's the way I want it. And that's the way I'm going to get it when everybody makes their choice for me. And that day is coming. That's the second coming. Between the first coming and the second coming, there is the church, the body of Christ, where we as his body, every one of us with our different gifts, our different skills, working together symphonically to make this world better. We choose to do good. And as we do good, we look for opportunities to tell of the awesome Savior that we have, the incredible God that we serve. This is what it means to be the church. This is what God is calling us to do. So, church, look, have your eyes wide open for every opportunity to do good. Let me tell you a story. Ellen White. A couple things about Ellen White. First of all, 1 Corinthians 12, it's all about the body of Christ. Ellen White suggests memorizing this chapter. I want you to think about how incredible that is. I never read anywhere where she said, memorize the three angels' messages. Okay? I think it would be good to memorize them. But I never read anywhere where she said, memorize them. But she said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, this is chapter 12 is about the body of Christ, 13 is about love. Memorize them. Wow. Second thing, just a practical example, and some of you have heard this before. When I was in Australia, did you like how I said that? When I was in Australia, I went to visit her house. And when she was moving away, all the people of the community made a little scrapbook for her and wrote nice things in there. Somebody wrote, Mrs. White, we're sorry to see you leave. The widows and orphans were never so well cared for as they were since you came to our community. Wow. Second thing, when they first moved to Australia, they'd go to church. You know, Adventists, many Adventists, some still today, but many Adventists back in those days would cook their meal on Friday, have it all ready so they wouldn't have to do a lot of work on Sabbath. And they'd go to church, they'd come home from church, and their house would be stripped empty of food. Can you imagine coming home after preacher preached way too long and you're starving to death? You get home and somebody broke into your house, stole all your food. Okay. The first thing they did is got a vicious dog. That's not a joke, by the way. They got not really a vicious dog, but they did get a dog and keep the riffraff away while they were at church. Second thing they did, Ellen White planted an orchard to give the people of the community a job. She said these words. She said, these people are not bad people. They're hungry. So she created an industry. She created an industry to serve the community. And when they had jobs, they stopped stealing her lunch. Okay. Church, this is a practical picture of what the body of Christ can look like when it's in action. Amen? In a lot of ways, I'm really proud of our church, and I think we've done a lot of good. And I think there's more good to be done.